just right where you are. I want to stay. Oh, please lead me away. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Father, we ask that you will visit someone here today. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. Do with us what you alone can do. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. I believe that this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in this day. It's an impartation service, but before we go in for the impartation, we have been dealing with a very, very interesting subject, the subject of love. This morning, we shall look briefly at hindrances to the love life. Hindrances to the love life. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. It said, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Hindrances to the life of love. Our objective is understanding the factors that make loving difficult. Factors that make loving people difficult. Factors that make living the life of love to be difficult. The Bible says we should overcome evil with good, which means that there are things that will come against us, even in our attempt to do good, that we must overcome. By way of introduction, the Bible makes it clear that God is love, and he does everything on the platform of love. God is love. God does everything on the platform of love. He has also commanded his people to love like he does by living in love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. He does everything he does through love, and he has commanded his people to live the love life. From the scriptures we saw so far, there are factors that tend to negate our life of love. And this morning, we shall be looking at those factors. What are the hindrances to the love life? Number one, I call it love deprivation. Love deprivation. Love deprivation, especially in childhood, is a major cause of the lack of love demonstration. People who are deprived of love, in most cases, will find it difficult to demonstrate love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you will abound more and more as ye have received. People are only able to release what they have received. It is easy to know what to release when you have known what you have received. Many people are unable to release love because they have not received love. And this is very, very important for parents. Children who have been love deprived eventually end up with the inability to receive love, to give love. They end up with the inability to get love. In fact, genuine love gestures, they become suspicious of it. Am I communicating? They can't receive kindness. Dr. Miss Enencha the other day had some group of children in her office, and she was trying to embrace them, hug them, pat them at the back, and the children could not receive it. They didn't say, come, let me hug you. Come, let me hug you. Their parents were there, I believe. They didn't know it. They were not suffering children. They are not children from poverty home. But they didn't understand the language of love. What a pathetic situation. And these children will grow up to become somebody's wife, somebody's mother, somebody's friend. They don't understand it. Parents, please, do all you can to pour love on children. We live in a very, very terrible world today because there is a love bankruptcy and a love deprivation. I've come across people who said, when you said you are dressed fine, they suspect you. They say maybe you are mocking them. You are looking well, you are looking sharp, you are looking fine, you are looking beautiful. Compliments, they can't receive it. Because the only thing they heard from their mother was insults.
The only thing they heard from their parents coming up was, you can't do well. You can never be successful. I mean, there's nothing you do that is good. The only thing they receive from their children, from their parents, comparing them with other people's children, telling them how better other children are than them. I know of families where if two children have problems from outside and came home, before the parents will hear from their children, they will blame their children first. Normally gang up with other people against their own children. Oh. Hatred is born out of love bankruptcy. In our home, love is the flow, touch is permanent, permanent, permanent. While the children were born, some of them would lay on my chest for about 3 hours while I'm praying in tongues. Just relax there. You feel me from here to here? Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? One little boy was in a classroom in the UK, and the teacher was asking questions. He will ask, what will you say? They asked the young boy, and he said an answer, and the whole class laughed at him. They were always laughing at him. He had a sister in the same class. He looked towards the sister for affirmation. Like, if everybody is laughing at me, at least my sister should be on my side. The sister was also laughing at him with the people. That boy ran out of that class immediately. That was the last time he will be in a class with human beings. He became a serial killer. Human beings are bad. Human beings are wicked. If my own sister can mock me and laugh at me and reject me in a crowd like this, then no human being is worth it. Serial killer. He gave his test. He told his story before his execution. What turned him into a killer? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you a real life story. This is not ordinary preaching. Life story. Some of you parents, you are, by the time you finish turning your children into bundles of hatred, when you meet God, you will give account. I talk with teenagers here, and I see some of them suffering in their homes under so-called fathers who are meant to be church people, church workers, church everything. You insult the hell out of your child, and you want them to become anything in life. I know a man, his own way of deriving pleasure is to insult his children as they are passing. Say, this one, is it head you are carrying or coconut? He will just be passing. See, look at this one. Are you walking or you are crawling? Are you a lizard? See how you is moving like snake. That is it. Nothing normal comes out of that man's mouth towards his children. And I don't know of anyone that succeeded. Anyone who succeeded is the one who is coming to God. All of them rendered useless by the hatred and mouth of the father. Am I communicating at all? Love your children. Love children. Not just yours. Love them. Children love me and I love them. Whenever they see me, they run to me. I carry them. I back some of them. At this age, I still back some of them. I'm sure you know all that. Back some of them. Some are teenagers already, like 18-year-old boy, 17, 15. I back, oh yes. I still back my son till today. Like this, on the back. The girls, I carry them in the hand like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? This is practical. And this, you see, if we want to change the world up, let us start it from the ground. It has been said that children that receive the physical touch. That is just an ordinary hand touch like this. Like this. Those children, they do better than children that nobody is touching them. On evangelism yesterday, on Lugbe Road here, I was shaking hands and young men, I was pulling their bed. You know, at times, I've never met him in my life. We are meeting. How do you think that guy will feel? He was very, very happy. He will be in church today. I told a follow-up man to ensure he follows him up and brings him to church. Otherwise, he will give me his own beard. Because I have done this to people before who broke out and started crying. They say nobody ever loved them. They say nobody, say no father, no mother, nobody ever showed them any level of value. We live in a world that is dying of lovelessness. Wives at home dying of a loveless from the hands of a loveless husband. Children dying from the hands of a loveless father. And I want to beg everyone here, listen to this message. Listen to it again. If you are a father, listen to it. If you are a husband, listen to it. Give it to your friends. Let's begin to work on our generation. So that we stop producing people that have no heart for people. People that don't love anybody. People that are just passing through this world. Just empty, bankrupt of love. I told my children, I said, call me anytime. Anytime of the day or the night. Call me anytime. It's from school, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., call me. I'm there to answer. Because if you don't have the time for them, somebody will have the time for them. And it may be somebody you don't like. Somebody say amen. So this is the love deprivation is a basic one, and it is very, very terrible. Number two is human ingratitude. Human ingratitude. A major enemy of walking or living the love life is human ingratitude. When you do things for people and they are absolutely ungrateful, you don't want to do anything for anybody anymore. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1 to 2. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So, we live in a world today, a world of unthankfulness, a world of ingratitude. A world where somebody's thank you may be insult. That is the world we live in today. You do things for people. You are kind to them. And they cannot say thank you. Or in fact, at times, they act in outright unthankful ways. Until you are wondering, who should I help? Who do I help? Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody is living in the house you paid for, you rented for him, he's attacking you. Hello? That is the reality of the world we live in. And I'm telling you practical. The motor you gave him, he's still driving it. He's attacking you. The car. The money you gave him for business is what has made him to be where he is in business. Yet, his gratitude is attack. So, you come to the point where you are wondering, okay, who do I help? Somebody say amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Some people even tell you,
God only used you. You could have used anybody.
Hallelujah.
You know, God's servant, one young man that was raised in ministry by a father. The young man became very, very ungrateful and very arrogant. And the man told him, he said, me that carried you on your shoulder when you were nothing. Is it me you are talking to like this? He said, you carry me on your shoulder, drop me. He said, you carry me on, okay, drop me. The man said, I drop you. That dropping was his crash for life. I think he became mad or blind or something. Dropped. Somebody say, I trained you and you are talking to me like this. He said, is it not your Bible school I went? Take your certificate. He handed it over to him and the man tore it in his presence. He tore the certificate in his eyes. That was the tearing of everything about him. You are boasting all the time. You train me. Okay, take your certificate. Take the certificate. Okay, bring it. You can go. That will never be your portion. Are you learning anything from these stories at all? I am saying that is the word. So whenever you are now trying to see, okay, somebody comes and say he wants help, you are thinking twice. Will this person be like that other person? Because that other person didn't look like he will become like this. There are many things that make people ungrateful. I'll give you only two from this service and then in the next service we'll talk about it because the points are so important that I want to say them in the two services. There are many things that make people ungrateful. Number one, I call it an entitlement mentality. Where somebody believes whatever you are doing for them, they are entitled to it. An entitlement mentality. Have you seen in some villages where some people say, our brother is abroad. Our brother is in Lagos or in wherever. And he's not helping anybody. He's not helping anybody. He only knows himself. Question is, why must he help you? What made you entitled to the help, if not the mercy of God? I was talking to a man the other day. This man is about 58 years old. Very soon he will be 60. He was lamenting that since his father died, nobody has been helping them. He's going to 60. Somebody who should almost be a grandfather himself. Since his father died, nobody has been helped. Their father died, in fact. And he was almost about to shed tears. Since... You know, we see a lot of things. And that is normally a thing that should make me to laugh. But I have to calm myself because... So he doesn't think I'm mocking him or I don't identify with his plight. So an entitlement mentality, that is what will make a child to depend on a father for life. Or believe that somebody, because somebody is related to you, he must. It's not written anywhere. Whatever is done for you is a privilege. Whatever is done for you is not a right. We have that entitlement mentality in our generation. And then, now, the second thing that makes people ungrateful is the spell of pride and arrogance. There are people who are too proud to say thank you. Where we read just now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, verse 2 now, among the things that will happen in the end time, he said, the men shall be lovers of their own selves, they shall be covetous, they shall be boasters, proud. Then at the end, they see unthankful. Most people that are proud are unthankful. They can't say thank you.
Say take. They collect it and start going. I have this for you.
Thank you. Even if they don't want to behave as if they have been helped. They are too arrogant to acknowledge help. They are too ostentatious, and that has kept them where they are. You can say thank you even to your own child. You can say thank you to your wife, to your wife, to your wife, over and over and over and over again. You can appreciate who you think you are bigger than. That is the humility that sustains authority. I'm sure you know that it is humility that sustains authority. So this is the second thing that make people not to do things for people. But I want to let you know that we are not doing things for people just for the sake of the people. You are doing things for people for the sake of God, and doing things for people for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your destiny. Am I communicating? If you mind the actions of people, you won't do things for many people. You won't do things for many people. If you mind the actions of people, you won't do things for many people. Because human beings will normally use you and dump you. They just want to climb you like ladder. And when they think they have their own, they have succeeded, then who do you think you are? Somebody say amen. There was somebody Papa Yedeko was trying to raise. He was a very powerful man in those days under his ministry. And at that time he was behaving very arrogant, as if him and his pastor or father in the Lord are at the same level now. And the Papa said, this is your pride. It will destroy you. He said, let him destroy me. Let it destroy me. He was destroyed though. He was destroyed by the pride. Destroyed until this powerful man had no voice. This powerful man had no voice. This powerful man had nobody to talk to. By the time Papa Yedeko is flying all around the world in ministry aircraft, he's transporting by night bus. Not aircraft too. Not commercial, but night bus to reach his destination. He didn't end well. Am I communicating? So we have. So when you look at such situations and you are trying to pour yourself into people and they reward you with pride and arrogance and ostentation. I've stood side by side with people in the hospital, point of death, breath cutting, and I stood, drove in the night with my wife, middle of the night, especially substitute, this hospital, stood against the force of death, cast it out. Kept on. Are you okay? Is it okay? These same people will come out well, and you are the subject of attack. Real life. There was one I was with, the consultant pulmonologist, chest physician. This guy's breath was almost gone. Brought him back, did everything. I drove him myself to the doctor, to the physician. Praying and doing everything. He comes out of it and becomes Absalom. We don't see you. We see where. Question is, so how do you keep on imparting people, touching people, helping people, assisting people? You keep on doing it because it is commanded. You keep on doing it for the sake of your own future, for the sake of your own destiny. Because it was when Job prayed for his friends that God turned around his captivity. Those who fought against him, who reacted against him, who moved against him, it was when Job prayed for them. And you keep on doing it because you also understand, like I said last time, for every upper that will disappoint, there is a root that will be loyal, that will be faithful. So you are walking and you are acting with the mind that you will locate Ruth wherever she's found. You will locate the one, the John the Beloved, that will walk all the way to the foot of the cross. You will locate him. You will locate him. That walks all the way to the foot of the cross. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Wow, have I expired 30 minutes already? Say a louder amen. Is anybody receiving anything this morning at all? Number three is like unto number two. I call it, so what are the things that are hindrances? Number one, love deprivation. Number two, human ingratitude. Number three, this one now is human wickedness and misbehavior. This one is not just ingratitude now, but human wickedness and misbehavior. This is what, how the psalmist captured it in Psalm 109 verse 4. Psalm 109 verse 4. He said, for my love, they are my adversaries. I loved them, and yet they became my enemies. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. For my love, they are my adversaries. For my love, I'm talking of human actions, misbehavior, especially in response to good deed, becomes a major hindrance to your love life. Those who actually turn into your sworn enemies in return for your love. Sworn enemies in return for your love. Sworn enemies. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 13. He said, whoso rewarded evil for good. So, we are dealing now with people who reward evil for good. Whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That shall never be your portion. I say that shall never be your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whoso rewarded evil for good. So we are dealing with people who reward evil for good. And I have four categories of these people. First category is the category of deception and insincerity. You are true with them. You are real with them. But they are insincere with you. They are untruthful with you. They are not real to you. Can I tell you a story? A young man who is an orphan. I knew the father, my wife knew the, we knew the parents and knew the mother. And this young man we had helped him here and there. Suddenly told me that he had heart disease and they're about to fly him to Canada and so on and so forth. I sent him money, maybe 200 and something thousand or so, for to assist him to Canada. And I've done that a couple of times. His father was a wealthy father that died some time back and the mother followed. We assisted him to set up a business which he was doing and we gave him money to do and so on. And then he now sent me a message how he was going to Canada because of his heart disease. And he explained things that were very medical. I understood them. So it was urgent. So I assisted him, spent with airfare. After a while, he sent back and he said, so and so person, the situation has gone to so and so level. And he was talking on the phone and coughing like somebody who has congestive cardiac failure and a congested heart and lung and is not able to talk well. I said, sorry. I was very, very compassionate. I wish I could see him in person. After a while, the Holy Ghost ministered to me and said, confirm that what he's saying is true. So the phone number he used to call me, I asked somebody to help me check where this phone number is. The location of this number. And they checked and he's in the boundary between Enugu State and...
was in the boundary between that the place you live before you go to Enugu State. The boundary from Benue State to Enugu State.
Not Orokami. I think that was Utupa he was.
That area. And I saw his location. So he kept on calling. This is congested cardiac failure. So, sir, in fact, the doctor said that under the next 48 hours.
You know, no matter how anointed you are, if God does not help you, you can be neatly deceived. Neatly. Hey! Have you ever felt like somebody turned you into a fool? So I roared at him on the line. I said, do you know who you are dealing with at all? I'm trying to help you align and cheat and deceiving me. You want to die? You want to die? Dead, they call you.
People there. Even if you are going to be lying to people, is it my time?
And you know my work. Hi. Deception.
I heard a funny story the other day. One of our members here, somebody tried to dupe and tried to collect money and then wired some money one or two times already. Only for the person to discover that this person is fraud. And now this person works in EFCC, the person that they are trying to dupe. So he sent the ID card to the man first, that this is where I'm working. And I can trace you and pick you now. Guy began to beg, I am sorry, I am an orphan. I am an orphan, I don't have father, I don't have mother. If you pick me now, there's nobody to bail me. If you pick me now, nobody to bail me. In fact, even no animal will come to me. Nobody to bail me. You didn't know you were an orphan before you started the process. Because love is truthful. Love is real and sincere. And so, whenever you are dealing with people in the sincerity of your heart, and your compassion is so real and sincere, and they are returning deception for compassion, it just deters you. You don't know who to help anymore. Haven't I told you before that somebody sat in my office, and this one is a white man. I told you the story before. Area 1 office. The moment he sat down, that one, God help me on time. The moment he sat down, the Holy Ghost told me he is about to tell a lie. I look at him. This kind person can tell lie. See, he's about to tell you that he snatched his bag and that everything was inside and he has no money now. I should assist him with money. It is not true. Wow. So I looked at him. Because if it is somebody that looks like an area boy, that story can be true. But I'm looking at this person. This is more like a European kind of person. I'm seeing him. And before I could say praise the Lord, he said he was coming to Jos, from Jos to Abuja, around Maraba side. He was trying to come out of the vehicle and some boys snatched his bags. So I began to nod my head. Okay. He thought I was sympathizing with him. Not knowing that, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. What I was doing is I have heard the story you are telling me now. This is the second time I'm hearing it. The first time the Holy Spirit told me before you are now telling me. That was how I say it is well with you. The Lord assists you to recover everything that they stole from you. And it is well. Eh? So we'll see later, you hear? Hallelujah. I prophesy to you today.
The Lord will help you overcome. Help you overcome. Help you overcome agents of the enemy that come to attack your love life. Receive help in the name of Jesus.
So this is deception and insincerity. And then the second one of is the worst is conspiracies and gang up. Where people you have helped, persons you have helped, actually try to gang up with your enemies. Have you ever been in situations where somebody you help, somebody you love, somebody you have assisted, his closest friends become those you know hate you. Have you seen such before? The closest friends are those he's fraternizing with people he knows hate you with a passion. This kind of thing can make people just to slack and say, you know what? I help them and yet they are wicked against me. I help them and they harm me. I help them and they hurt me. I won't do it again. But again, you are not doing it because of yourself. You are not doing it because even of that other person. You are not doing it because of that person. You are doing it because of God, and you are doing it for the sake of your future. But let me give a general counsel. Please, let us be calming down. What did I say? Don't let the devil use you. Don't let the devil use you to be an agent that will make somebody careful in helping other people. Don't reward is. I just read the passage to you now. Anybody who rewards evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. The same person that is helping you, you are lying to him. The same person, you are ganging up and conspiring. You are sitting down to tear him down. You know, the nature of human being is so amazing. Do you know you can be pastoring people who are permanently looking for your fault? They're just sitting there watching. You didn't do this today. You didn't say this today. I was sick. You didn't visit me. I don't know how many people even visited himself. All he can do is just to be preaching and preaching. So why are you still coming? If you are better than him, why don't you ask God to make you a pastor? It's just a mystery, a mystery. The one who prays for you in the night, who lays hands on you, trust God to cast out your devils, put himself under the pressure. Still on the lookout trying to find. No. It's amazing. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Please, make yourself a friend that is a friend indeed. Whenever you have been assisted, don't resist those who assist you. Don't fight those who helped you. Don't gang up with those who call themselves the enemies of those that God is using to assist you. Don't ever do that. One man came to my house many years ago and he was trying to tear Papo Yedepo down in my eyes. And he knows my relationship with him. That was the last time I had any dealing with that man. Highly anointed man at that time. Anointed by Archbishop Idahosa of blessed memory then. He's nowhere to be found on today when you talk of the scheme. Trying to tear the one who lays hands on me. The one that God used to raise me up when I was nothing and I'm still nothing. In my eyes. Habamana. In the village, even if your father is a drunkard, nobody is permitted to insult him in your eyes. Do you understand? Your father fell into the gutter on the road drunk and some young boys are trying to stone him or something. You fought them first. Dealt with them. And then you arrange your father home. Just pack him and arrange him home. Then when alcohol cleared from his eyes, you say, Papa, why are you disgracing us? Why? See how you lay on the, see how the children were stoning you. If not, I will came, they would have. See, please now, you deal with him, with each other at home, but you deal with the enemies outside. Not him. Hallelujah. Anybody hearing something, say amen. I see a new day for somebody. Every gang up, listen to this now. Every gang up and every conspiration against you will not stop you. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 said, who is he that can harm you? When you be followers of that which is good. If you are doing good, no agenda of hell can ever succeed against you. No agenda of darkness can ever succeed against you. And if you are saying that, amen, say it like you mean it. Say it like a believer. Number 4 is company with the loveless. Company with the loveless and the wicked. It will hinder your love life. The Bible makes it clear. So we are dealing with those things that can hinder the life of love, our life of love. Company with the loveless. The Bible makes it clear in Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20. 13 and in verse 20, Proverbs, he said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Company affects character. No matter how hard you try, your character can never be better than your company. Character is affected by company. Association brings assimilation. You absorb the character of those you associate with. So you associate with very loving people, associate with very, very good, kind people. You will be loving. You will be kind. You will be generous. But associate with hateful people, and that ruins your life. Let me give you just one picture. A good man. Generous man. Good man. Generous man. Loving man. From a loving home. Good man, generous man, loving man from a loving family, closely knit family. Family that is they are together like this. Like they used to say in our place, needle cannot pass through them, between them. Suddenly marries a woman, and it can be the other way around. Marries somebody that is loveless, heartless, doesn't care for people. And you watch this good man, you watch this loving man, ruined. He starts by, he wants to send money to his father, his mother, his siblings. He hides to do it. This lioness must not know. He hides to do it. Until he comes to the point where relations are driven away, far away. Friends are at a distance. Nobody is helped. Nobody is assisted anymore. Because one individual entered his life and ruined his life. Am I communicating? The things that I speak many times are things that I've seen in scripture and the things I've seen in real life. What I just described now is a real life situation. Good man. Full of smiles. Full of welcome for everybody. How many of you used to watch those films in those days? Then entered the dragon. Then entered the Chinese movies. Then entered, I think it has one title. Right. This was a good, kind man. Then entered this lioness. Listen. Brothers driven away. Brothers banned from coming to the house with a letter. What? Siblings, letter. This is for your information. You can't come to this house. Written. Mother, father, at bay. Close knit home. People that almost raised each other.
This guy was to himself until he became sick. Terminal illness. Nobody was around him. And who surrounds you determines what you can survive.
When Paul the Apostle was stoned, he was surrounded with people who love him. He jacked up.
This man was surrounded. He dilapidated and degenerated, incapacitated to a wheelchair, died like a chicken. When family came, it was too late. And after he died, family situation remains the same. You are still not near. Welcome. Are you sure what I'm saying here today? It will never be your portion. May nobody enter your life and drive good people from your life.
May nobody enter your life and drive loving people from your life. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout the believers amen.
Is anybody receiving anything from what I'm saying this morning? If you are going to get married, please look well. Look at the character of the man.
The story I said, now the opposite is true. A young lady got married. Her mother had died before. Her father raised her. And she got a good job. Then entered this disastrous man. Middle level qualification. She was a graduate. He's like OND or something. She had a car. He trekked into her life.
It is funny, but it has to be said. It has to be said because it trekked into her life.
As soon as he arrives,
I am the owner of everything.
He stopped this girl from sending money to her father. Sending money to her siblings. She said, but my father trained me. Let me help him train my junior ones.
He said, lie, not in this home. Beat her, naked her in the compound.
But I warned her, I warned them before. Because when I
saw the man's temper before courtship, I warned them before. I warned her.
Are you sure of this man? Because any masquerade that will know how to dance, you can see it from his walking step. Even the walk is a dance.
Any man that has the capacity to tear down a wife, you will see their anger in courtship. But they have a way of excusing it. I want them. But she went ahead and married the man. The man beat the hell out of her until she ran out of that house alive. Became a shadow of herself, but God rescued her at the end. Because I am one of those who believe that it's better to be alive without a marriage than to die because of marriage. I have said this for 20 something years. Are you following what I'm saying here today?
That was how this disaster nearly ruined that girl's life.
But he could not succeed because she ran for her life. Am I communicating? Before you marry, whether you are a man or a woman, watch it.
Those who advise you against goodness, watch them. Either generosity towards God, generosity towards people, genuine kindness, watch those people.
We are all in this world, but we are not the same. Our character content differs.
Don't let anybody run your life according to their own principles.
Don't let anybody run your life according to their own principles, according to what they think. My communication, even house help in your house, find out who they are and find out their principles.
We believe in tithing here. For example, we had an accountant who did not believe in tithing then. He was a member of the church, but he didn't understand the tithe. So one day I saw our church finances was going down. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? I hope we have been faithful in tithing as a church. He said, not all the time. I said, what? Do you tithe yourself? He said, not all the time. Oh, no wonder. It was our mistake, not your own. To put somebody who doesn't believe in these principles there. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is, you don't allow people with divergent principles to ruin your life. Choice of association. Your friend should be somebody who has at least a major percentage of the content of your character. In the second service, I will go more into town. I'm reserving the second punch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to accompany correctly. I receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Let me begin to round off now by giving the final point. We are in point number 4, company with the loveless and the wicked. And then number 5, lack of value for God and man. When people don't have value for God, they don't have value for man. The Bible said in the book of Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Listen to this, and I'll be rounding off here. True spirituality is reflected in value for both God and man. True spirituality is reflected in value for both God and man. When we say somebody is spiritual, we are saying that that person values God and that person values man. Because where if you are made in the image of God, if man is made in the image of God, you will value human beings made in the image of God. Real value for God will translate into value for man. Real love for God will translate into love for man. There is something that I am unable to comprehend. And that is how a person can claim to be a child of God now, as I am now. I leave this pulpit now and then go straight home. Or leave my post of ushering, or post of protocol, or post of choir or counseling, and then enter the car and start quarreling straight from the car park. I just came to love God on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord, oh single, single. Praise the Lord, in fact, oh single, single. You are always there to help, Kai. You are all. You are always there to help me, even when no one else was there. Chai, you. You are always there for me, even when I can't feel you and all those devil people are around me. Even when I cannot trace you, no problem. I still have faith. He finished singing the song. He has served God. He has loved God. Enter the car. Wife is quaking because they don't know what he will say next. Is food ready at home? Well, when we reach home, I'm sure it will be ready. Tell me the truth. Is he ready at home? You should be able to answer direct. From the car. Daughter, children are quaking.
What I cannot understand is how a man will put his wife in front of the children and dress her down. Sort them. It beats the imagination. Is it God you love? Can you truly love God, value God, and treat any human being like rag? I don't think so. Please, let's, on this note, if you find yourself having difficulty in loving the people of your life, ask God to reveal himself to you. Because it's likely we don't really know God yet. Am I communicating at all? It's likely we don't really know God yet. But I believe that the closer, the deeper we get to God, the more loving, the more tender, the more compassionate, the more lovable we become. You are loving, you are lovely, you are lovable. That is, apart from you loving people, you are a company people want to hang around. That is true. Because God is love. To carry God is to carry love. To carry God is to carry goodness. I see something changing in somebody's life. I see something changing in somebody's life. I see something changing in somebody's life. In the second service, I'll let you know that you use your relationship with people to measure your relationship with God. Stand up on your feet. It's a beautiful scenario. Lift up your hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings. Students, our children are back. Stand up on your feet and let's lift up our voices and appreciate God. Appreciate God. Appreciate God. Appreciate God. Worship him. Honor him. Honor him. We use our relationship with people. We'll say that more in the next service. Inside the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and lift your voice and let's appreciate him. Two things I want us to do. First, appreciating God for the word to you today. Appreciate him. Lift your hands and appreciate him for his word to you today. Okay, that's right. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 136 verse 1 to 4. Psalm 136 verse 1 to 4. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Everybody read it, verse 2.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever.
Verse 3 and 4.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah. We have seen the wonders of God in the week past, and we have also seen a lot of his mercies for us today. Lift your voice and say, Father,
thank you
for answered prayers so far. Thank you for victories, for blessings, for breakthroughs, for mercies. To you alone be all the praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for answered prayers so far. Thank you for victories, for blessings, for breakthroughs, and for your mercy on my life, on my family, on the church, on the nation. To you alone be all the praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God.
The Rapa Dos of Piranaka, Clarusa, La Harata, Sierra, the Rasa,
In Jesus' precious name. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Please correct it on the passage. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. It says, wherefore I put in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm asking for the baptism of the spirit of love. And Lord, help me to overcome the hindrances to the life of love. Lift your voice and say, Father, I ask for a fresh baptism of the spirit of love. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the life of love. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the love life. Help me, Lord. I receive your help, Lord. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Father, I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the life of love. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the love life. In the name of Jesus, Father, help me. I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the love life. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances. I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love. Help me, Lord, to overcome the hindrances to the life of love. I receive help to overcome the hindrances. Zekopalara hasadara. Zekelene managagadara hasada. Retesperata sotra kekekezi gadagala hasada. Le pretesene gagalayada hasadi shokalala hara. Rapas perotase predagala hasadista. Le pretesetra toga zetrenina gagalala hasa. Reta sata lana managagodala hasoreya. Repepetesetilala hasa. Predagala hasadista. Reta satola tara gagadala hashtelelbialo. Yokorate se pretese runa gagadala. Le parana sanda dolara tasede veregadosa. Sakadele gregrelasa. Paragala husa. Repata satra tinagala gadela turanama gadalasa. Leparata satra tena gagada hasta. Zoroto se peregala hasaria. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. One of the things we want to appreciate God for is the rate at which he answers our prayers. Last week, between the last 3-4 days, Thursday, Friday, and so on, we hear of breakout of fights between terrorists, leaders, and commanders killed on both sides. And then we were hearing of airstrikes by the Air Force, deleting them and just eliminating them. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. The Lord told us that the ground of Nigeria shall be the graveyard of terrorists and killers and kidnappers. And so shall it be. Ezekiel chapter 32 and in verse 24. He said, there is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave. All of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. Lift your voice and say, Father, we thank you because our nation, Nigeria, is the graveyard of terrorists, of kidnappers, of bandits, of killers, and their sponsors in this season. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that the earth of our nation will continue to bury the wicked in the land. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, we thank you because our nation, Nigeria, is a graveyard of terrorists, of kidnappers, of bandits, of killers, and their sponsors in this season. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that the earth of our nation will continue to bury the wicked in the land. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Father, we thank you because our nation, Nigeria, is the graveyard of terrorists, of kidnappers, of bandits, of killers, of their sponsors in this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, that the earth of our nation will continue to bury the wicked in the land.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. The land will continue to bury the wicked. 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 Yes, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Job chapter 5 verse 12 to 13. Job chapter 5 verse 12. He disappointed the device of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Can I have the Living Bible version of the same? The Message Bible, Living Bible, New International Version. He frustrates the plans of crafty men. Keep going, verse 12 and 13. They are caught in their own traps. He thwarts their schemes. Lift your voice and say, Father, we decree that the plots and the plans and the agenda of the enemy to abort your plan for our nation in this season be absolutely and totally frustrated in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, we decree that the plots and the plans and the agenda of the enemy to abort your plan for our nation in this season be absolutely and totally frustrated. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Zurata setele ya 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 ya. Father, frustrate the agenda of the enemy. Leperete secrete keko zagada la la la. Leperete sitrata kaka zagada. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and just receive his visitation and his touch on your life today, the spirit of love and everything else that you trust God to impart on your life. Lift up your hands. I take authority over that demonic altar in the village that causes you to dream and see yourself back in the village all the time. Shadada. That satanic altar of backwardness, old primary school, old compound in the town where you grew up, that satanic demon of backwardness, your spell is broken. That spirit of reproach and disgrace, where you see yourself wearing garments of wretchedness, where you see yourself being stoned like with excrement, today I take authority over that garment of reproach. I declare it is set on fire right now.
pain, nerve pain, muscle pain, bone pain, sickle cell crisis pain, mahashada, migraine headache pain, pain of tooth condition, everything that is called a pain of cancer and the root of it. Today they dry and die up right now. In the name of Jesus, let us see Kadiga leader, every trace of growth, whatever my Father in heaven has not planted in your body, they are being uprooted right now. In the name of Jesus. And I see a financial breakthrough mantle being released. Like that man who testified, everywhere your money is tied down, I declare your release right now. In the name of Jesus. Ancestral curses, generational curses, witchcraft curses, occultic curses, liga baba ya ya ya, spirit husband and spirit wife, and tormenting spirit curses on your life, they are broken right now. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. And when I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. And place your hands on your head. And receive everything that God has brought here for you today. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. Place your hands on your head and receive what God has brought for you. Father, let it drop. Let the power drop. Let the fire drop. Let the mantle drop. Let health drop. Let mercy drop. Let deliverance drop. Let breakthrough drop. Let the financial mantle drop. That's right, that's right. There is one more that I have not mentioned. There is a fresh fire impartation. Fire for Bible study. Fire for evangelism. Fire for prayer life. That's right. Fire of worship. Fire of spiritual warfare. To be able to take down the devil that does not want you to rest. Fire, fire, fire. To deal with the altars of your father's house. The altars of your family. The altars of your community. It's coming right here. Revival fire. Fresh revival fire. Lift your hands and receive it at the count of three in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3, you scream and receive and place your hand. That's right. The fire is already burning. Father, let it flow. Let the fire burn. Let it flow. Let health flow. Let miracles flow. Let signs flow. Let wonders flow. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. I receive. Precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy. Something just happened, and something is happening. Father, we love you.
Father, we honor you. And Father, we adore you. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Let me take the testimonies of five people. Those who got healed just now. A pain just left. A lump disappeared. A deliverance happened. You came out of a grave, a pit, an altar from your father's house just caught fire. Mantle of fire just landed on you. Just five of us, if it's possible. And let's do that very, very fast.
Going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom.
Everybody sing,
going up to the high places.
Everybody sing,
going up to the high places.
Everybody sing,
going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom.
Oh, we go up, we're going up to the high.
Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise.